Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Meseches Vachem Daf Nun Zayin. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on Nun Vav Amud Beis towards the bottom, around the 13-14 lines off the bottom. Here comes another list of actually three karbanes, which are considered kachim kalim, you know, of the lower status. So it's not kachim kachim, it's kachim kalim. And what's unique about them is that in contrast to the previous list of karbanes, where the dam, the blood of the karban, was either applied four times per carbon or twice, here it's just a single application on the Mizbeach. Habchar, your firstborn kosher animal, which is given to the kohen as a gift. And if it's unblemished, it's offered as a carbon and then consumed by the kohen. Vahamaser, that's the tenth, right? So the owner would separate one out of ten animals, bring it as a carbon, and actually it belongs to him. He consumes it. Vahapesach, okay, the carbon Pesach. These three are considered kachim kalim. Shchitasim chamokim ba'azorah. Their shchita occurs anywhere in the Azorah, not only in the north, anywhere. V'dam anton matona achas. Their dam is applied one single time to the Mizbeach. That's what sets them apart from the other karbonis. A single application suffices. U'bavad. Shita kinegad yisoid. Provided that, on condition that it's applied on the wall of the Mizbeach, above the yisoid, which was only present alongside part of the Mizbeach. So you have to make sure that you're zrika, that you're throwing the, sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach, where you have a yisoid beneath it. So regarding the matan dam, they're all equal. But regarding their consumption, shina b'chilasin, there are differences between these three karbanis in terms of who eats it, how it's eaten, etc. The bechor, that's a gift to the kohen, and consumed by the kohen, and some say the kohen's family as well, as opposed to v'hamaser, that's for anybody, the chol adam, the owner, or Yisrael, anybody can eat it. Both these karbanis, v'nechol and mechol ha'ir, can be consumed throughout the entire city of Yerushalayim, mechol machol, any form of consumption, any recipe, roasted, cooked, fried, right? What's your time frame? It has a longer time frame. Yamim, 2 days and a night, like Eish Lamim. And the Gemara will discuss the source. How do we know that a Bechor gets 2 days and a night? We'll see. HaPesach ein nechal el b'layla. Karban Pesach is unique. Of all three karbanis, he's the most unique one. He has his own rules. First of all, you can only have it the night of Pesach. Ve'ein nechal el chatzos, until midnight only. Ve'ein nechal el menuyav, can only be shared with registered participants who had participated and purchased in advance. Ve'ein nechal el tzol, you can only eat it in a roasted manner. So in the Mishnah we learn that the Karban Pesach, the Maser Behemah, has a similar application as a Bechor, where it says Ve'ez damam tizrak. How do we know that applies to the Maser and Pesach as well? Mantan, who's the author of that opinion? Omar of Chizda, Rabbi Yisiak Lili, the Sanya, as we learn. Rabbi Yisiak Lili Omar, the pasuk in describing the process of the Bechor, rather than simply say, Chelboy, it's fat, it's blood, he uses a plural expression. Chelboy doesn't say Chelboy, Loi Namar, Ella rather, Chelbam, their fats are placed on the Mizbeach. Likewise, dam oilei nemer, instead of simply saying its blood is applied, ella rather it says damam, their bloods. What are we including? We learn from here, al bechor u'maser pesach, that these threesome have the same type of blood application, shetu'unin, matan damim, ve'emurim gav mizbeach, their blood is spritzed on the mizbeach, and the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach as well. Okay, so anyway on the mizbeach, provided you're on top of the yisoid. Kineged yisoid menon, how do we know? It has to be with a yisoid. Amar Belezer, he says, Asher zrika mi'ayla. We have a gzera shava from Oila. By Bechor, it says Vezdamam Tizroik, and by the Oila, Vezaruka Sadam, we make Exereshava, just as the Yisoid is a requirement by the Oila, likewise by us. V'Oila Gufa Minol, how do we know that in fact this is a requirement by the Oila? Dechsiv, because by the Oila it says, El Yisoid Mizbecha Oila. Okay, we learn from here. Limei del oilas choyba. Some take out choyba. Shetun el yisoid, that yisoid is required by the oil. We connect the bechor to the oil. Well, if you're connecting, connect all the way. Im mala halan. Shetei matonet shein arba. Just like by the oil, it's a double application on the two far corners, right? The two diagonals. So you go to the corner. You do a single application right on the corner, which sort of splits into two. So it's a two which turns into four. Shtei matanashein arba, perhaps, here as well. By the Bechor, you need to do that same type of application. Afkan shtei matanashein arba. Whereas the Mishnah says, one application is enough. Why? Amar Abaye, I'll tell you why. That system, that shtei matanashein system, is unique to the Eila. And not going to be passed on to the Bechor. Omar Baye, you know why? Lama lid l'michtav, saveh b'oilo, saveh b'chadas. Why is it that the Torah has to express the term saveh in two places? By the oilo, make sure the dam hits all the walls of the mizbeach. Likewise, saveh b'chadas, to tell you that the dam is meant to be applied on all four sides. When you have two psukim that sort of coincide, to relate the same idea, which seems unnecessary. Just say it once and we'll compare everything to that. The point is to limit it. You have two psukim, haboin ke'echad, coinciding on the same idea. Indicating that it's limited to those two only. Don't expand it further. Whenever we have two psukim on the same thing, we can't transfer that information further. So Saviv is limited to the Oila, to the Chatas, but not extended over to the Bechor. That's true. If you hold that, you can't pass it further. But according to the opinion, that even when we have two Psukim, you can still export that information further. So now we're stuck, Michael Meimar. The answer is, it's not just two, it's three, and three all agree. Indicates limitation. Havish Asham. By the Asham as well, it says Saviv. Shloshim, they have three instances where the Torah mentioned Saviv. The Oil, the Chatas, and the Asham, and certainly, Ushloshim Vada Imalam, when you have three coinciding, the message is limited to those and don't extend it further. Habachor Nechel Kayhanim, and the Mishnah continued that a Bechor is consumed within a longer time frame, 2 days and a night, which is similar to a shlamim, which also has that longer time frame. Now, how do we know that, in fact, a Bechor has that longer time frame? Tanu Rabban, minayin lebechor shenechal shnei yamim v'layla echad shenemar? Because the pasuk connects it and compares it to a shlamim. Shenemar b'sar milcha, this is by the Bechor, right? The flesh should be to you, given to you, the kayin, and treated like a shlamim, kechazei atnufa, like the chest area which is waved back and forth, ukshayka yamin, like the leg of the shlamim, which is given to the kohen, the chayyeh. So we have that connection between bechor and shlamim. Chazei and shayka are parts of the shlamim that are given to a kohen. So we assume the reference in this pasuk is chazei v'shayka of a shlamim. So now in the pasuk of Bechor, we have a reference to Shlomim. What for? For comparison purposes. Pasuk is now connecting a Bechor to the aspects of a Shlomim, to the parts of a Shlomim. To tell you, ma Shlomim necholim. Just like a Shlomim has a longer time frame, 2 days and a night. Af Bechor nechal. Likewise, a Bechor has that 2 day time span. Okay, so according to the Braisa, it's very simple. Hekish, comparing the Bechor to the Chazav Eshoik, which is presumably of the Ishlamim, which has a longer time frame, likewise a Bechor. So actually, this question was posed to the Chachamim, the famous yeshiva in Yavne, the Kerem B'Yavne. In fact, this question was posed, Nish'ala was presented lefnei Chachamim, in front of the scholars, the Kerem B'Yavne. So they used to sit like a, you know, in rows, like a vineyard organized, that's why it was called a Kerem, like a vineyard, in the town of Yavne. And the question was posed as follows, Bechor l'kama nechel. Anybody knows? What is the time frame for consumption of a Bechor? Is it short? Is it long? Nen Rabbi Tarfon b'amar. Rabbi Tarfon responded, and he said, yeah, I'll tell you. L'shna yamin v'layla echad. A Bechor, 2 days and a night. Ho yisham talmud echad. Actually, it was a newcomer, a new talmud, who had just come to the Beis Medrash. He wasn't very shy. He challenged Rabbi Tarfon. Ho yisham talmud echad, that had just arrived in the Beis HaMedrash, Shabbat Beis HaMedrash, Lefnei Chachamim Tchila, he had just come. And what was his name? Rabbi Yisrael Glili Shumay, that was his name. Amarloi, he turned to Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi, please Rabbi, tell me, how do you know? Manayin Lach, how do you know? This halacha that a Bechor has 2 days. Amarloi, he responded patiently, he says, Bani, by way of comparison, Shlomim Kachim Kalim, Shlomim is labeled as Kachim Kalim, and likewise a Bechor is labeled as Kachim Kalim, right? Bechor Kachim Kalim, that allows for a comparison. Ma Shlomim Necholen Lishnayomim V'layla Echad, just that Shlomim has a two day and a night time frame. A Bechor Nechol Shnayomim V'layla Echad, likewise a Bechor can be eaten for that extended period of time. Amalois Rabbi Yisrael Glili responded, Rabbi, he says, why compare it to a Shlomim and allow it a longer time frame, compare it to a Chatas V'Asham. They also have similar elements, as we'll see. And just as a Chatas V'Asham has a shorter consumption time, likewise a Bechor. Amalei Rebbe, Bechor Matan L'Kohen. Look, a Bechor is a gift to the Kohen. And likewise, a Chatas V'Asham is a gift to a Kohen, Matan L'Kohen. Ma, so just like Chatas V'Asham, Liyam V'Layla has a shorter consumption time, day and a night. Let's assume a Bechor as well. A Bechor, Liyam V'Layla. Amar Lois, Rabbi Tarfon, responded, he says, look, let me explain to you. When you learn one from the other, you have to compare it to something which is more similar, more comparable. Amar Lois, Nidain Davar, you have to learn something, Midavar, from something which is very similar. Vinilma Davar Midavar. And that explains why we prefer going to the Bechor Shlomim equation, because they have similarities, as opposed to the Asham Achatas. Let me explain to you. Ma shlomim ein boin al chet. Because just like a shlomim is not coming to address a sin, right? Af bechor ein a bal chet. Likewise, a bechor is not for a sin. And therefore, it allows for a comparison in terms of the consumption time frame. Ma shlomim necholim. Ushnayam alaylech. Just like shlomim goes on for 2 days. Af bechor, likewise, nechol ushnayam alaylech. Amr lay. So, Rabbi said, Lili. Persevered on. He says, no, Rabbi. He says, sure, it has to compare, it has to be similar, but I believe that Bechor actually is more similar to the Chatas V'Asham than to the Shlomim, and that's why it should be compared to the Chatas V'Asham and the shorter time frame. We're like, Rabbi, of course Nidam Medava Medava, we learn one thing from a similar thing, Yilmad Dava Medava, right? Of course. But let me explain to you, Chatas V'Asham is a Matan L'Kohen, it's a gift to the Kohen, and likewise a Bechor is a gift Matan L'Kohen. Furthermore, just like a Chatas V'Asham is not presented as a gift, it's something which you have to bring. Likewise, a Bechor shares that similar characteristic. So wouldn't you think they're meant to be compared? And therefore, so just like a Chatas V'Asham has a shorter time span, af bechor nechal yom v'layl echad. Likewise, a bechor should only have a 1 day time period. So now we got stuck. Who says to compare the bechor to the shlomim and give it a longer, extended time frame compared to the chatas v'asham with a shorter time frame? Okay, kavas a rekiva. So rekiva jumped into the fray, came to the rescue. When his talker Tarfon sort of backed off, and rekiva took over. Let me explain to you how we know that a Bechor has the extended Zman. And it takes us back to that Pasuk, actually, which the Braisa presented earlier. We have a Hekesh within the same Pasuk. which discusses Bukhar. It also discusses Chazev Shoik, which we assume are the parts of the Shlomim. Hence, we have that connection within the Pasuk to the extended time frame of the Shlomim. Amar like, how are you? I mean, the Pasuk says, Ubesaram Yelecha. And it continues, Kachazeya Tnufa, Chashayka Yom. Hikishan HaKosel Lachazev Shek Shlomim. So the Pasuk is comparing the Bukhar to the Chazev Shek Shlomim, giving it the extended time frame. Ma Shlomim, just like a Shlomim Necholon Lishne Yomim Lagayachad, have a 2-day time frame, Af Bukhar likewise a Bukhar. Nechol will be eaten Lishne Yomim Lagayachad. Amar Loi. So once again, Rabbi Saglili challenged and responded like this. You know, who says? The Pasuk just says Chazev Yishrek. We have two instances where we speak about Chazev Yishrek of the Shlomim, as we had proposed. But actually, there's another korban as well, where the Chazev Yishrek are given to a kohen. That is the korban Toida. It's learned from the Shlomim. Okay, he knows that fact from the Shlomim. But in actuality, the Toida also has that today. Since he learns from the Shlomim, now we know that the Chazev Yishrek of the Toida is also gifted to the kohen. And a Toida actually only has a shorter consumption time, day and a night. So perhaps when the Pasuk compares the Bukhar to Chazev Yishrek X, it's of the Toida, which has a shorter time frame. Hence, the Bukhar should also get a shorter time frame. Amar lo yikash toid l'chazev yishrek shlom. You chose to connect, to link the Bukhar to the Chazev Yishrek of the Shlom, which you assumed was the subject matter of this pasuk. No, vani makishoi l'chazev yishrek shel toid. Who says? I can't compare it. I can't connect the Bukhar to the Chazev Yishrek of a toida, which has a shorter achila. Ma toida ne'acheles l'yem v'la. Just like a toida only has a 1-day eating period, because that's clear in the parsha of Toida. Av b'chur nechal yom v'la. Likewise, the b'chur only has a shorter time frame. Amar loy, Rabbi Akiva responds, okay, you're right, granted, the hekesh can very well be to the chazev yishrek of the b'chur, which would result in a shorter time frame for the chazev yishrek of the Toida, which will result in a shorter time frame for the Bukhar as well. However, he says, we have another pasuk, an extra phrase in the pasuk, which will now allow us to extend the achila of the Bukhar for an extra day. Omer lo. How are you, Omer? Because in this pasuk it says, Ubsoram yelecha. It's to you. It's gifted to the kohen. But then it comes back and says, lecha yeh, which is almost a repetition of the same words. It's yours, it's yours. What's the point of saying that? To tell you can have it for another day. Shein tam olam, there's no need to add the words l'chayyeh. What's the point of l'chayyeh? Hoysiv akosiv havaya acheres b'bukher. The Torah is telling us, you have extra time to eat it. You have an extension for another day. Like the achila of a shlomim, which is 2 days and a night. Okay, so let's just go through the sequence of events. Question was posed to the Chachamim, how long a Bukhar? Rav Tafim responds, 2 days. The new coming Talmud, Reis Aglili, wanted to know how we know that. Well, we'll compare it to the Shlomim. Well, no, we'll compare it to the Chatas V'Hashem. We got stuck. Rav Kiva presented the Hekesh between the Bukhar and the Chazev Yishrek, which we assumed was the Shlomim. Question was, no, it's perhaps the Toida. Which has a shorter time frame. Now, although the, the Zman, the timing of a Toida, which is a shorter timing, is discussed within the parsha of Toida itself. It's a local halacha in the Toida. It doesn't have to be imported from elsewhere, but the halacha that a Toida features the Chazev Yishrek gift to the kohen, that's actually imported from a Shlomim. Important to know for the Gemara coming up soon. So part of it, the timing aspect is local within Toida, but the Chaz v'shoik aspect is imported from the Shlamim through a Hekesh. In any case, the proposition was, yeah, you're connecting Bechor to Chaz v'shoik, perhaps of the Taida, which has a shorter time frame. Okay, so Rabbi Kiva responded, fine, but we have the extra words L'chayyeh to allow a Taida the extra time. Ukshenemru Dvarim Fnei Rabbi Shmuel. Now, when this sort of back and forth was presented to Rabbi Shmuel, including Rabbi Kiva's concession that the Hekesh here is between the Bechor and the Taida, that necessitated the extra words L'chayyeh to allow the Bechor extension beyond the time of the Taida. Amarlan, he responded to the Talmidim who presented him, you know, with this the minutes of this debate. He says, "Tzu v'imru leder Rabbi Kiva, please go and clarify to Rabbi Kiva that you made a mistake to Isa by conceding that we're connecting Bechor to Taida. It's an impossible proposition. You can't do that because, as you recall, we cannot make a double hekesh." You can't make a double connection. You can't export and export again. So you're attempting to connect Bechor to the Chaz v'Shoik, assumingly of a Toida, who only knows that fact from the Shlamim. How do we know that a Chaz v'Shoik applies to a Toida only by way of another Hekesh from a Shlamim? So you're taking information which had been imported to the Toida from the Shlomim and attempting it to import it again from the Toida to the Bechor. Now, although the timing aspect, the fact that the Toida has a shorter time frame, that's stated locally within the Toida itself, but it doesn't matter because you're importing the package, you're connecting to the Chaz v'Shoik of a Toida, which in itself must first be learned from a Shlomim. How did the Toida know about Chaz v'Shoik? How does he even know it? He comes from a Shlamim. Can there be something which had been learned from a Hekesh? I.e., Chaz v'Shoik, which came over from the Shlamim to the Toida, Chayzer Melamed Bekesh will now be turned around, sent off to the Bechor? To tell you the short time frame of a Bechor? That's incorrect. It doesn't work. The original assertion was correct, that the pasuk here is connecting Bechor to the Chaz v'Shoik of the Shlamim. It's a single link. And that would have resolved the question. Perhaps it's connecting to the Bechor with a shorter time frame. It's impossible. That would necessitate a double link. Apparently, you shouldn't be presenting as per the last thing that he had said. That's a connection to Toida. That doesn't work. Elok b'lashon rishon. Rather, according to the first version, that it's a true connection between Bechor and Shlamim directly. And that works, because Shlamim is a two-day achil, likewise Bechor. But in any case, Rabbi Kiva had sort of conceded that it's a connection to the Toida, Chaz v'Shoik of the Toida. Well, a Toida has a shorter time frame. Well, L'chayyeh tells me Bechor is longer. Rabbi Shmuel didn't need that L'chayyeh because he just negated this proposition. Rather, Bechor is directly learning from Shlamim, which has a longer time frame. So what does he do with the words L'chayyeh? Rabbi Shmuel, L'chayyeh, L'chayyeh, Mayavli, what does he do with those words? And Limei is coming to teach us. Not only is an unblemished Bechor given to a Kohen as a gift to be used as a carbon, even a blemished Bechor, which cannot be processed as a carbon, is still going to be given as a gift to the Kohen. Even we learn al Bechor ba'al mum, even a Bechor which has a mum, Shumatan al Kohen, which is a gift to the Kohen, Shlom Mitzinu Mechalatoy, we don't find any other source for that except for here. Okay, has Rabbi Kiva know that? Rabbi Kiva, Yolafla, he learns it in Bisaram. The Pasuk by Bechor uses plural language, Bisaram, to cover both types, Chad Tam, Chad ba'al mum, unblemished or blemished. Rabbi Shmuel, what does he do with Bisaram? Bisaram, the Hanach Bechor is coming, it's referring to different variations discussed in the Pasuk, the one of the heavy animal, the cattle, the one of the goat, the sheep. That's why it's plural. Okay, so bottom line is, Rabbi Shmuel negated Rabbi Kiva is conceding to Rabbi Saglili that we can even make a connection, we can attempt a hekesh between Bechor stated in this Pasuk and Chaz v'Shoik of a Toida, You can't do that. That would necessitate a double hakish. Why? Because although the timing aspect of the Toida, the day and the night time frame, is derived locally from the is discussed within the Toida itself, without any need to import from elsewhere. But we're connecting to which aspect of the Toida, which reference to the Toida do we have in this pasuk, Chazei and the Shaykh, which is only known to apply to a Toida by way of learning from the Shlamim, which has those elements as well, Chazei v'Shaykh. So you're taking some information from the Toida, which is known locally within the Toida itself, the timing aspect, but you're actually accessing it by way of the Chazei v'Shaykh, which only arrived at the Toida by way of import from a Shlamim. And you're taking that information and passing it on further to the Bechor as well. Is that considered a double link or not? I mean, the timing aspect is local, but the Chazei v'Shaykh aspect of the Toida is imported from the Shlamim. It's an interesting question. Part of the halacha is local, part of it is imported. So how do we label it? Imported or local? Question is, can we turn around and import it to the next thing? Is it considered a double import or not? That is the point of machlokes. But my commitment, okay, so what's the machlokes based on? Rabbi Shmuel, who negated this double link, and Rabbi Akiva, who was okay with it, apparently, he did not consider it a double link. It depends on the question we just discussed. Mar Savar, Rabbi Shmuel holds, it's considered a double export. Because after all, although the timing part is local, but the Chazei v'Shaykh aspect of the Toida is imported from the Shlamim. And you're accessing the timing aspect by the way of the Chazei v'Shaykh. It's considered imported information, which doesn't allow for further exporting. Mar Savar Himeno, when one aspect is learned directly from the source, such as the timing aspect, which is stated by the Toida itself, but you're combining it with another element which had been imported, such as the Chazei v'Shaykh, which came over from the Shlamim to the Toida, that's considered an imported item, which doesn't allow for further exporting. Umar Savar, Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not considered imported, because the timing aspect is vintage Toida. It's local. It's original. Unimported. Okay, and therefore it allows for that passing on to the Bukhar as well. Says the Gemara, okay, once we're on the topic of Heimenu v'davar acher, whether it's a Hekesh or not, if it is, then you can't export the information further because you can't make a double Hekesh, but if it's not considered imported, then it's considered locally produced and you can export it, right? According to the Shita, that's not considered imported. That would explain another halacha as well. That explains the pasuk by Yom Kippur. We have the par v'soyer, hapnimi, the cow, the goat, whose dam is applied all the way inside in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The kohen sprays one up and seven down. Now by the par, the pasuk enumerates the seven down, but not the one up. By the sir, just the opposite. It clarifies that it's going one up. It doesn't explain how many down. So how, in fact, do we know that both the par v'soyer will have an identical process? One sprayed upwards, seven sprayed downwards towards the, you know, the aron. We make a hekesh. We connect the two and give them both identical processes. So just as the par has seven down, likewise the soyer. Just as the soyer has one going up, likewise the par. But then we take that information, we take that formula and we export it to the Heichal, because after the blood is applied in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen goes to the curtain of the Heichal and does the same there. One up, seven down, one up, seven down of the Pirate Sur. How do we know? The same exact process applies to the Heichal. But we have a connection. The same process that took place inside takes place outside by Oyumayid in the Heichal. And we learn Kishem Shemaz Lefnai Lefnim, just as the Kohen spritches all the way inside, one up and seven down, of the par, likewise by the Heichel, just as by the Soyer inside, likewise by the Heichel outside. Shem Shemazel, Fnim Aras, Lamala, Vesheva Lamata, Medama Par, just like he does seven up and one up and seven down by the Par inside. Kach Mazel Behechel, likewise in the Hechel. But let's realize that how's the Par in the Kodesh Kodoshim have one up? Because he drew that information from the Sire. He imported that from the Sire. Now we're exporting that to the Hechel. Right? Likewise on the Sire's side of the equation. He learned his full numbers from the Par. Right? How does he know that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim he goes seven down from the Par? So A, you exported it from the Par to the Sar, and now you're exporting it to the Hechel again? Ukshem, and just like Shlufnai Afnim, inside in the holiest of holy, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Achas Lamala V'Shav Lamatam Dam Asar, you apply one up and 7 down of the Dam of the Sar, but part of that was learned from the Par, right? Likewise, he'll do the same with the Hechel, Kach Masa, Behechel. So, in a sense, it's a double import. How does that work? Oh, the answer is because it's Heimen over Dover Acher. You know that the Par needs 7 down, it's just the one up that he learns from this Sur. So since part of it is local, we deem the whole package as local, and that can be exported to the Hechel as well, and likewise by the Sur in the reverse. El Madamar Vehekish. However, if you consider this to be a Hekish, imported material, we're stuck, Michael and Meimar. How can you take all that information from the Kodesh HaKadosh, which in itself is not original information, it's shared, imported information, and export that to the Hechel? It's a double link, a double Hekish, which doesn't work with respect to halachas of Karbonis. The answer is, it's not considered a double link. Because in contrast to the first sharing of information, it was between karbonis, between animals. What applies to the Par, applies to the Sur, and vice versa, in the Kodesh HaKadosh. But now we're not connecting animals, we're just connecting places. It's a new type of configuration, new type of equation. We're just equating this place to that place. That doesn't concern us. It's not considered a double Hekish. Mekaymos, locations, who the Gamri Ma'adadi, are learned from each other. In contrast to the first connection, which was about the animals. A different type of connection. It's not considered a double link. Wait, Samar, here's another answer to your question. You know how come it works over here, but not by the Bechar Taida connection? Because over here, Chutz Mepnim, the exterior, meaning the Hechel procedure, Mipnim is learning from inside, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim process, in one go, in one package. B'chad zimna gomer. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, unlike the Bechar Toida connection attempt, where it's not a direct connection to the Toida. It doesn't say Toida in the Pasuk, it just says Chazei V'Shoik, which we're assuming is a Toida. The issue is that Chazei V'Shoik is not local information. The Toida himself only imported that from the Shlomim. So you're accessing the Toida by way of an imported item. That doesn't work. But over here, like we explained, the number 7 going down by the Par is clearly articulated by the Kodesh HaKadosh. That doesn't need to be imported. So certainly it's legal for the Hechel to learn that aspect directly from the Kodesh HaKadosh. And once you learn one thing, everything comes along. Whatever's part of that package, whatever's included in the process of the Kodesh HaKadosh, whether he learned it from here or from this, but once it's part of that package, and you're learning local information and transferring it to the Hechel, that local information can now bring along all the other aspects of his package as well. As long as it's not an explicit double connection. Because you have some information which doesn't need that double connection. Again, the Par and Kodesh HaKadosh requires 7 applications downward. How do we know that? That's not imported, that's local. So just as the Hechel can learn that from the Kodesh HaKadosh, which is direct information, not imported, Likewise, all the other added information, such as that it goes one up as well, which actually the power learned from the Sur, doesn't concern us, because now it's been incorporated in that package. And once you learn some things, you learn everything, included in that package. As opposed to the timing aspect of a Bukhar, which you're attempting to learn from the Toida, which has a shorter time frame. But in this passage, we don't have a direct connection to the Toida. Rather, all it says is Chazev Shaykh aspect of the Toida, which is not local information. That was only learned from the Shlomim and transferred to the Toida. That's important information. So you're trying to access that important information, and through that, refer to the shorter time frame of a Toida and export that further to the Bukhara. It's a double export. You're taking something from the Toida, which isn't locally stated. You're taking from the, you're accessing the timing aspect of the Chazav Shaykh of the Toida, which is import information from the Shlomim, and trying to transfer that over to the Bukhara. It's a double export. It doesn't work. But here it's by the Yom Kippur, it's one package, chutz mipnim, the echa, which is outside, from the kodesh gashmi, which is inside, b'chadzim nagamer. You're learning all aspects of the blood application in one shot, in one package. Right? So since the echa is accessing information from the kodesh gashmi, which is stated by the kodesh gashmi itself, local, original information. So now you can take the whole package, even including information that was added later by way of the various connections, and all added to this package of local information. It's all labeled as local production, and now it can be exported one time to the Hechel. Continues more, Bishleim l'madam l'levi hekesh. The Bach changes it to loy havi hekesh. So again, according to the Shita, that it's not an issue. That when you compare A to B, to derive information which is somewhat local to B, but somewhat imported from C, we treat it as local information, and can export it to A. It's not considered information received by a hekesh, imported information. That would also explain another halacha, which involves this type of arrangement. That explains the pasuk by the shtei alechem, two breads that are offered on Shavuos. You should bring lechem tnufa. The word taviu is superfluous. So then, what's the point of taviu? To include another carbon as well, to teach us how it's done. Kol shata mevi mokem acher. Hariu kazeh. Another type of bread, which is chametz, just like the two breads on Shavuos, which are chametz. That's something very unique. Typically, things are matzah in the Beis Hamikdash. So, a similar chametz type of bread will have the same size, which will require the same amount of flour, just as these karbanis, hariu kaseh, just as these breads. Meaning, malahal, just like on Shavuos, it's two breads comprised of two isaran. Each bread is comprised of an isaran, a certain amount of flour. Malahal and isaran lachala, each chala is comprised of an isaran, afkan, likewise on the breads of the Karban Toida. So Karban Toida has four types of breads, actually. One is chametz, three is matzah. Afkan, likewise over here, by the chametz of the Toida, isaron l'chala, each chala, each loaf, is comprised of an isaron. Okay, says the Gemara, ima l'halan, shnei isaronim. But let's look at the total amount. Perhaps just like by the shtei alechem, it's a total of two isaron for all breads. Afkan, shnei isaronim, likewise. The 10 breads, the 10 chametz breads of a Karban Toida are comprised of a total of 2 isaron, which gives you much less than an isaron per bread, right? Actually, a fifth of an isaron. Tamalama tiyena, no. The word tiyena, Rashi says, is a drasha. The extra yud is a drasha to tell you actually it's meant to be 10. The extra yud is 10. For the Madnum, we learn Asara l'chametz, that the chametz actually is comprised of 10 breads. Rashi says it's based on a drasha in the Gemara and Menachos. And Rashi says actually the number 10, chalais by the Toida, is learned because we have a Gzeira Shava from Trumas Maser. Trumas Maser is where the farmer removes a tenth of his the Levi takes a tenth of his Maser, gives it to the Kohen. That's one of ten. So by the Toida as well, one of ten breads are given to the Kohen. So one has to be one of ten. Apparently there are ten to begin with. Okay, so bottom line is we know that by the Chalais Chametz of a Toida, the number is ten breads. And they're comprised of each challah is made of a yisare. Okay, so that's the starting point. But what about the matzah breads that a toida has? How big are they, and you know how much flour is required? Well, the matzah asar l'chametz. So based on this, we know that chametz has 10 isorin. Asor lo matzah minayin. What about matzah requiring 10 isorin as well? Tamar loymar al chalas lechem chametz. So by the Toida it says that the matzah variety is similar to the chametz. Al chalas lechem chametz. Neged chametz have a matzah. The matzah corresponds to the volume of the chametz. Now, this is one connection. We're importing the halacha of ten isaron from the chametz to the matzah, which in itself, right, the number 10 by the chametz in itself was learned from where? Well, partially local, because the fact that we have 10 breads by the chametz, that was learned locally, because it's a gzeira shava from Terumas Masa, which is sort of local information, it's locally produced information. However, the volume, right, the number is local, but the volume is imported. That's from the Yishtei Alechem of Shavuos, right, from Taviu. So, let's look at the matzah end of things. He's learning two things. Sorry, he's learning ten isarin. Okay, so the matzah is comprised of ten isarin. How does he know that? He drew that over from the chametz aspect of the toida. And how does the chametz aspect know that he's made up of ten? So there are two parts here. Right, it's compiled of sort of a double configuration, a double calculation. The two factors that get us to that conclusion. Number one, just like by Shtei Alechem HaShvuos, each bread is comprised of one Yisarin, likewise over here by the Chametz of the Toida. But we don't stop there. We know locally from the Gezeirah Shavah to Terumas Maaser, right? We know that by the Chametz there are 10 breads. So, the number 10 breads, that's local. But that a bread is comprised of an isarin, that's imported from the Shtei Alechem of Shavuos. That's your classic Heimenu Davar Acher. One aspect is learned locally, and one aspect is imported from Shavuos. So if that is not really considered imported information, it's considered like local information, repackaged local information, that explains why it's allowed to be passed on further to the matzah, which likewise will now know to require ten isarin. El olamanda amar, havi hekesh. But according to the opinion that considers it imported information, so I could take that imported information and pass it on to the matzah. Michael Lemim, we're stuck. The answer is taviu yaserahi. Technically, it's not considered imported at all. Because when the pasuk says Rashi Sechem Taviu, the word Taviu is an extra word. Rashi says it's as though the Torah is stipulating that the chametz breads of the Torah should have the same configuration, the same amount, the same volume as the Shtei Alechem. Right? So it's not really considered imported. It becomes local. In which case, all agree that information can now be passed on to the matzah breads of the Korban Torah. Okay, so in a nutshell, what is the consumption time frame of a bechor? This was posted to the Keren B'Yavna by Anonymous. Reb Tarfon responded, well, it's 2 days and a night, and in response to basically this question, he says, I'll tell you how I know, because we compare it to the Shlomim, they have similar characteristics. Which Rabbi Saglili challenged. He says, no, if anything, it's more similar to the Ashram, Chatas V'Ashram, which have a shorter time frame. So Rekiva sort of, retired from sort of backed off, and Rekiva came in. He says, look, it's a Hekish. The Pasuk mentions Bechor together with Chazav Yeshoik, which is assumed to be a Veshlamim, longer time frame. Rabbi Saglili wasn't happy. He says, what do you mean? Perhaps it's a connection to the Chazav Yeshoik of the Bechor? Rabbi Kiva conceded, and he said, okay, but we still have an extra lashon l'chayyeh to give the Bechor a longer time frame. Rabbi Shmuel wasn't happy with this connection between Bechor and Toida. He says it's a double hekesh. Rather, the correct approach was the original one, that it's a chazav v'shek of a shlamim. So we have a bona fide connection between Bechor and shlamim to give it that extended time frame. In any case, it turns out that it was a machlekes, conceptual machlekes, regarding the halachas of double linkage, hemen of davar acher, an equation which is part local and part imported. How is it labeled? Local production or imported product? And that affected our perspective on the bechor toida connection. Likewise, it took us into the question of connecting the Hechel to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in terms of the breads of the Korban Toida, which was resolved according to all Shittas. Okay, finally we have the Zman Achila B'Korban Pesach, which the Mishnah establishes as being Chatzos. Pesach Enin Nechel. Now why only Chatzos? Man Tana, who's speaking in this Mishnah? Rav Yosef Rav Elazar Azari. It's that Shita, the son of Elazar Nayi Oimer. How do we know that Pesach is consumed only up until midnight of the night of Pesach? Ne'emar kam b'layla hazeh, in describing the time frame of the achilas haPesach, it says b'layla hazeh, b'ne'emar lahalam, and elsewhere regarding the description of makas b'chiris, which occurred exactly at midnight, it also uses the term b'layla hazeh. However, at the rest of time b'layla hazeh, we compare, we connect. Ma'alal, just like over there, by Makas Bechoris, it occurred exactly at midnight, at Chatzos, Afkan at Chatzos, likewise, by Korban Pesach. You have until midnight, you're done. So, Minat Torah, right, in contrast to the other Korbanis, where you have until the morning, but Chachamim pushed back the deadline as an extra precaution. Over here, it's Minat Torah. Chatzos is the deadline. That's why we eat the Afakayman until Chatzos. Afakayman is meant to be together with the Korban Pesach, the same time frame. Omar Lai Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responded to him, what do you mean? Why only to Chatzos? Pesach says, eat the Korban Pesach haphazardly in a rush. That's describing the mood. Circumstance, they were in a rush, they're on the way out, which only occurred that morning when they left. Apparently you could eat until the morning. And came out, why is the pasuk say b'laylazeh if you have until the morning? Sheyochem, because it's coming to correct a possible misunderstanding. Perhaps I would think perhaps Korban Pesach is compared to other korbanos, which all can be eaten during daytime, right? Even the shorter time frame karbanis can be eaten for a day and a night, the day of the akrav and the night. So perhaps Korban Pesach will be consumed starting from daytime Erev Pesach, when you bring the Korban Tamalema Balayla. It's limited to night time. Balayla Yenechel. It's meant to be consumed only at night. But not during daytime. But of course, according to Rekiva, you have until the next morning. So bottom line is our Mishnah that states Chatzais as the deadline for the Pesach is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Menat Torah, you got to stop at Chatzais. Amar Abai, Abai responded. How do we know? Who might Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Uda Reis. How do you know the Mishnah which states Chatzais as the deadline is Menat Torah in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Doing with the Rabbanon, perhaps it's going like the Rabbanon. You have until the morning. Chatzos is only rabbinic precaution. It's meant to distance you from sin, from overriding the deadline. How do you know how to learn the Mishnah? Perhaps Minatari, you have until the next morning. It's just from the Rabbanon, you have until Chatzos. MK, the answer is if that were so, my Elat Chatzos. Why would the Mishnah change its presentation? Unlike the other Kabbalahs, where it says, V'nachal chatzayis, it's meant to be eaten until chatzayis, where it's only with the Rabban. Here it says, Ein nachal ella. Right? Ein nachal ella chatzayis. It's a harsher statement. M'k ma'al ella chatzayis. Apparently it's critical, it's min atayra, the deadline is chatzayis. Ella rather kihasam. Apparently, this halacha of chatzos is compared to the other halachas in the Mishnah, the other elements of the Karban Pesach, which is that it has to be eaten only at night, only for the members that had participated and purchased, right? Ella kihasam compared to the other halachas of the Karban Pesach, ma'asam direct, just like those halachas. I mean, Torah, Afkanami, likewise over here. The chatzos time frame is also the raisa hadron loch ezumukam. All the best to you and atzlochra.